I'm so glad to see so many of you here, especially from the Oakwood Church. It shows at least you didn't get run away by the message this morning. If you came back for more, I tell you, you've got to be made out of sterner stuff than many. And it also makes my heart glad to know that you are concerned enough to drive this long distance to hear the word of the Lord. Now, you must remember, as I stress over and over and over again, I'm not a minister, neither ordained nor licensed. And the work that I do, the things that I bring, are things that the Lord has seen fit to show me out of the Scriptures and the spirit of prophecy. And I grant you the privilege to disagree with me if I'm wrong. And as I said this morning, as long as I stay in the books and in the inspired writing, we'll be on safe ground. Last weekend and this weekend, we are recording a series that will be available in the near future on, we call it Sealed or Slaughtered, because there's only going to be two groups, one with the seal of God and the other group will be slaughtered away. And last weekend, we laid the foundation for the meaty doctrine that we're getting into. Last night, we talked about the seal. And this message that you're going to hear this afternoon, it comes in between last night's and this morning's, if that makes any sense. So remember that as you hear, but put it in its proper perspective. And those of you that didn't get either one, you're just going to have to grab hold anywhere you can, because you may be a little lost. But we're talking about the 144,000, the living saints. And of course, we know that in Revelation 7:4, the writer says, "I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." We talked a little bit so far about their characteristics. We've learned some of the things that go into the makeup of the 144,000. Now, this is not a popular subject among us. Some of us think, well, you shouldn't even talk about the 144,000. God's Word discusses it. And whether you realize it or not, the Spirit of Prophecy discusses it in great detail, the 144,000 and their character makeup. And so I think that we have authority from the Word of God to study it. Now, the only thing that we are admonished by the servant of the Lord not to do is put our fingers on individuals and say, "You're part of the 144,000 and you're not part of the 144,000. That selection is left up to God. He and He alone knows now who will be part of the 144,000. All we are told to do is strive with all your might to be among that number. And we are told by His servant that as we approach the end of time, as we get closer and closer to the final events, that those who are among the 144,000 will know it. And the way I think they will know it is they'll see them falling out on the right and falling out on the left and falling out in front and falling out in back, and they're sticking. And so that should tell them that they are part of the children of God, that they're not going to be the ones that are shaken out. Now, we talked last night about the seals. And as I told you, it's my belief that the seal that the 144,000 are sealed with is not the same as the other seals mentioned in the Bible. We know there it's either in Isaiah or Jeremiah that speaks about bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. In Ezekiel 20:20 that speaks about the Sabbath as a sign. And there in Ephesians that I brought you last night. All God's people have those seals. But the 144,000 are spoken of as translated people. And they're the only ones termed. And so the seal that they have is a different seal. Well, some of you say, didn't Ellen White speak about people in her day as being sealed and part of the 144,000? There's only two occasions where Sister White mentioned people in her day as being sealed. Selected Messages, Book 2, page 263. And she's talking in this particular instance about a sister who's died. And she's writing a letter to her husband. This is Selected Messages, Volume 2. 263 page. She says, "I saw that she was sealed and would come up at the voice of God and stand on the earth and would be with the 144,000. Now notice that phrase, with the 144,000. Now I came over here to the church this afternoon with Pastor Conley, but does that make me part of Pastor Conley's family? You see, there's a difference in being part of and being with. Sister White said on this occasion this lady would be with the 144,000. She did not say they would be part of them. Again, volume 7 of the Bible commentary, 7 BC, 982. They are living upon our earth, men who have passed the age of 70. The natural results of old age are seen in their feebleness. But they believe God, and God loves them. The seal of God is upon them, and they will be among the number whom the Lord has said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now, both of these statements have one thing in common. The people that's mentioned in them are dead. They're not alive. The first statement, the lady was already dead. The second statement, the men were past 70, and she said they would be among the number that the Lord said, blessed are the dead. So she said they would die. The dead cannot be included with the 144,000 because the 144,000 will be translated saints. And you have to be alive to be translated, as I will show you. In fact, the Bible, the dictionary definition of the word translate is to remove without death. To remove without death. Only two individuals have had this privilege so far, and that's been Enoch and Elijah. They're the only two people that has left this world without tasting of death. Hebrews 11:5. Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now, can you get any plainer than that? Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Translation doesn't include death, and death excludes translation. Enoch, according to the servant of the Lord, was a type of the 144,000. Moses is a type of those that will come up in the resurrection that occurs before the second coming. Moses, you see, was resurrected and taken to heaven. And he's a type of those that will be resurrected. In his case, death meant that he could not be translated. It excludes translation. Early writings 164. Moses came under the power of Satan, the dominion of death. Had he remained steadfast, the Lord would have brought him to the promised land and would have then translated him to heaven without his seeing death. You can't get any plainer than that. Translation means leaving the world without tasting of death. And the 144,000 will be translated saints. Now what about Elijah? Well, he was taken, we know, to heaven in a chariot of fire. He also went without seeing death. Prophet and Kings 2:27. Elijah was a type of the saints who will be living on the earth at the time of the second advent of Christ and who will be changed without tasting of death. Now there's at least 50 additional quotations from the spirit of prophecy that I looked up in preparing this sermon, in which I'm not going to give you all 50 of them. Get your index out and look them up for yourself. But there's at least 50 other statements that say the same thing. Nobody can be translated after they die. You have to be living to be translated. So the 144,000 I submit to you will only include the living saints. No one who has ever tasted of death can be among that number. Those who are fortunate enough to be one of this group are numbered and sealed during the giving of the loud cry, which takes place before the close of probation. Volume 3 of the Testimonies, 266, which I read to you this morning, says the sealing work is the closing work for the church. The sealing work, the closing time in the church, the sealing of the 144,000. And you know what that teaches me? We have people in the world today, or people connected up with our organization, that says, well, the 144,000 is going to come out of all denominations. No, Sister White says it's the closing work for the church, the church of God, the remnant church, to be more plain, the Seventh-day Adventist church. Only the 144,000 will come only from the Adventist church. They will not come from any other church. Now, we're not excluding the great multitude that will be saved, and I think I'm going to touch on it in this sermon. Let me stop here and remind you that probation closes for the Adventist church before it closes for the rest of the world. For those of you who were not here last weekend, you missed the talk on that in which we brought it out from the Scripture and from the Spirit of prophecy. But you see, opportunity ceases for the remnant people before it ceases for anybody else. And it's the closing work in our church that will produce the 144,000. So you see, they have a work to do. The 144,000 for the rest of the world. And they're going to come out of this church. They're spoken of in the book of Revelation as the first fruits. Now, if you've got first fruits, what does that summarily say you have to have? Second fruits. Now, the second fruits will come from the other denominations. The 144,000 is going to go out and give them the truth that we've enjoyed so long and bring multitudes. In fact, many of our evangelists, Emilio Conecli, a leading one, say that they believe the 144,000 is going to go out and preach the gospel so strongly that this denomination will swell to about 50 million members. I can't say that to be true or not. All I say is I leave it in the hands of the Lord, and if that's so, praise the Lord. But we do know that He's going to get 144,000 out of this church. Oh my. We've got three point something other million. And only 144,000? We've got to stop and consider several things. First of all, the greater majority of our membership is going to leave. Let's face it. They've never been converted. And when the time of trouble comes and the shaking really gets down to the nitty-gritty and you've got to make a decision, if you haven't been rooted and grounded in this thing, you're just going to slip away. And you're going to be gone. So a great majority of our people are going to leave. We don't know how many. It's indications that only less than one out of 20 is going to remain loyal. And then we've got to stop and think about the group that I spoke of in the sermon on the shaking of the church. The old and the young that will be laid to rest. We don't know how many that's going to be. One dear sister says, you know, my faith is not strong enough in the Lord. I want to go to sleep. I don't want to go through this. I said, sister, we should never adopt that attitude. Our attitude should be, I want to be so strong in the Lord that He can use me wherever and whenever He wants. Sleeping is the coward's way out. Being laid to rest is the coward's way out. I want to be in the vanguard. I want to be on the firing line. We used to have a song that we sang in the Pentecostal church. It said, keep on the firing line. Be right up there. I want to be where the battle's the hottest and where the fighting is the thickest, because it's those that are there that are used of the Lord. And I tell you, if you study the 144,000 as I have, they've got some wonderful things waiting on them in the kingdom. And I want the best my Lord's got. And the 144,000 are going to be a special group. There's indications that they're going to be able to go to every inhabited planet in the universe to exclaim and to show off the glory of God. And we don't have that many references saying the rest of the redeemed will. There is indications that they will be confined to earth, so to speak. We're not going to speculate on that, but we do know that the 144,000 is going with Jesus throughout the universe, and He's going to show them off and say, here they are. Here are the ones that have stood loyal. They're, as I said, SDAs. We're going to go out to Babylon and bring in the great multitude that is mentioned there in the 9th verse and the 10th verse of Revelation. Because you see in verse 4 of Revelation 7, that's the one we said, the 144,000 of the tribes of Judah and the other tribes. And then in verse 9, the writer says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude that was with the 144,000. All nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. In verse 13, one of the elders answered, saying unto me, who are these that are arrayed in white robes? Who is this great multitude of people? And where did they come from? And John said, I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and it washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now we know there's three times spoken of in the spirit of prophecy. Tribulation. There was a tribulation that ended in 1798 that began with the rise of the papacy. Then there is the little time of Jacob's trouble. And then there is the great time of Jacob's trouble. The servant of the Lord links this verse 14 here with the time of Jacob's trouble. The time that we're presently entering in on. The time when the whole world is going to be shaken, you see. And it's called in Scripture in the spirit of prophecy a time of great tribulation. So the great multitude, you see, is going to come from out there. And you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if you can have a part in winning that great multitude? If I can just win one, you know, that's wonderful. But you see, the Lord's going to give the 144,000 the opportunities of winning multitudes to the truth. And after all, saints, what greater proof, what greater witness is there to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ than one changed life? One person that the glory of God shines forth. Multitudes out there that you come in contact with every day will never read this book. They'll never pick it up. But let me tell you, they read you. They read you like you would not believe. And your life, as you're going to learn tonight as I speak on Tears in Heaven, your life can be a savor for death or life to the world. And the great multitude, the 144,000, they're going to live in such a way that everybody they come in contact with is going to be influenced. And multitudes are going to flock to the church of God, and they're going to trace their experience to Brother A or Sister B, who the life of Christ shone forth through. Now, as I said, the 144,000 is going to be a wonderful group. And we're studying to find out if they're living Seventh-day Adventists or whether that number will include those who have fallen asleep. I think one more point will decide the matter for us. And that's found in the 14th chapter of Revelation, verse 1. Revelation 14, verse 1. Again, linking the 144,000. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having their father's name written on their forehead. All right, we've identified that this group is standing on Mount Zion. Look over into the next chapter, 15th chapter, verse 2. Now he's speaking of the same group of people. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over the mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the heart of God. Is there any way, saints, I ask you, that those who are dead and asleep can get the victory over the beast? Is there any way that those who are asleep in the grave can get the victory over the mark of the beast? Is the mark of the beast being enforced? Is it currently being enforced? Well, there's some, you know, dichotomy of difference. It is in one sense and it's not in another sense. But in this sense that we're talking about, the mark of the beast is not being enforced right now. So there's no way, you see, that the dead can get the victory over the beast, because when this great battle deciding Sabbath versus Sunday is raging, they're asleep. And so they don't have to worry about this. So you see, the 144,000 are those that have to worry about this. According to Great Controversy 637, those who have died in the faith of the third angel's message will be resurrected at the beginning of the seventh plague. And they will have missed all this that the 144,000 have been going through. They're going to come up at the very beginning of the seventh plague. The 144,000 is going to go through every one of the plagues. We know this because they're sealed before probation closes. Well, what about Sister White? You know, there's a rumor going around that she's going to be among the 144,000. Yes, sir. If anybody deserves to be among the 144,000, Ellen White does. And I agree with you. That's true. But is she going to be one of the 144,000? Early Writings, page 40. An angel speaking to her. Now, this is an angel speaking to Ellen White. And he says, "You must go back, and if faithful, you with the 144,000 shall have the privilege of visiting all the worlds and viewing the handiwork of God. You see there the opportunity that's held out to the 144,000? But see, she said, with. Now the angel didn't say, you with the 143,999. He didn't say that. He said, you with the 144,000. Indicating that she was separate, but was with, but was not part of them. And two, we have to realize that she's asleep. And that excludes her from being translated. Nobody will be among the 144,000 except living people. We can and we must search the written word for ourselves. I don't want you to take what I'm saying just because I say it. If you do, you've missed the whole point. I'm telling you these things so you can go home and say, well, I want to prove it for myself. Because that's the best way to make anything yours, is to prove it for yourself. I told them last time about seeing a chart, end time prophecies, and it was a beautiful chart. And I said, I'd like to get one of those things. It had what's going to happen in the spirit of prophecy, references, and it was a beautiful thing. And I said, I want one of them. And found out the man that had made the things was dead. So I said, well, I'll make one of my own. So I got me one of these long sheets of cardboard. It took me about 6 months, and I made one up. And you know what I discovered when I got through with that thing? I made it, I knew what was on it, and it was in here, and it was not written on cardboard. I knew the thing, you see, because I made it. I didn't have to depend on what this man said. And what I'm trying to get you to do is to search the scriptures for yourselves. To search the word for yourself. Make it so because you know it to be so. You know what I find to be the greatest thing wrong with Seventh-day Adventists? On any subject, state of the dead, the Sabbath, whatever, the great majority of the Seventh-day Adventist people say, well, I know it's there somewhere. You know, it's there somewhere, but I can't put my finger on it right now. If you can't put your finger on it, you don't know it's there. And you know, we're told that in the days that are coming, that we're going to be carried in before courts. And Jesus says, take no thought of what you say because the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind. And folks take refuge in that thought, saying, I don't need to study because the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to your mind. But saints, He can't bring anything there that wasn't there to start with. So you must make it your own. You must know the truth for yourselves as it is in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. If we depend, and I include myself in this. If you depend on what a minister says, no matter how good he is, and what a minister thinks about things, sooner or later you'll be led astray. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you depend on somebody else to do your thinking, sooner or later somebody's going to come along that's brilliant. And they're going to lead you astray because you based your faith on a man or a woman. Don't do it. It's sad, but it's true. Thousands of people have left our church listening to what other people have to say. Other people have to say. That's why I urge you to use the information that I give you as a basis to begin your own study. God's servant says it is only those who have fortified their minds with the truths of God's Word that will pass through the last great final conflict. Only those who know what the book says for themselves that will be among the 144,000. She says in volume 7 of the Bible Commentaries 970, let us strive with all the power that God has given us to be among the 144,000. I don't know about you, but I accept that as a challenge. I accept that as a goal. I may not make it, but it won't be for lack of trying. It won't be for lack of studying and dedicating myself to God. And if you don't make it, that should be your excuse as well. It's not because I didn't try. It lays on other experiences. And you know, really, when we get down to it, it's an experience that makes a person a part of the 144,000 anyway. It's an experience. And what is that experience? It's a face-to-face encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's knowing Him as a person. Knowing Him, not just as a person, but as an intimate and a close friend. We can have all the knowledge in the world concerning the state of the dead. We can have all the knowledge in the world concerning the health message. All the knowledge in the world concerning the Sabbath message. But if we don't know the author of those messages, the knowledge is useless. You know, I meet people that are really strong Seventh-day Adventists. You couldn't get them to eat a piece of meat. They'd rather die than eat a piece of meat. They wouldn't drink a Pepsi or RC or whatever that y'all have up here. They wouldn't drink it for the world. They wouldn't break the Sabbath. They look at that clock, and when about 5 minutes before the Sabbath, bam, they keep the Sabbath, and when they're just strict. But they don't know Jesus. And all of that is useless. You see, it's useless. We have to have an experience with Him, first of all. And an experience that when we say Jesus, He knows immediately who we are. Because He's heard our voices enough, He recognizes it. We've got to have an experience. The 144,000 are going to have that experience. When the Lord says, "This is the way, walk ye in it," they'll say, "Lord, just keep the light shining and we'll walk. And if it goes down in the valleys, Lord, we know that you've been there before and you made it out, and so we can come out safely too. Lord, if it goes over the mountains, we know you've been there before, and if you've made it, we can too. Wherever you've been, Lord, we know we can make it." You know, the scripture says, "These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth." Whithersoever He goeth. And you know, if we follow Him to other worlds, we're going to have to follow Him here first. We've got to walk the path that He points out. Speak the things He bids. And live as He directs. That's what's going to cause us to be living overcomers. Now, some of you say, "Well, He's awful bold in saying the things He does." Yes, I am. And no, I'm not. Because really and truly, if you knew the real me, you would find a shy and a timid person who doesn't like to discuss controversy with anybody. And if somebody rears up and says, "Well, this is the way it's going to be," I'm ready to back down. Because this is my nature. I'm timid and shy and withdrawn. But let me tell you something. I met Jesus one day. Did you hear what I said? I met Jesus one day. And He makes the shy bold. He makes the timid brave. He makes the weak strong. Whatever you lack, He says, "Get out of the way and I'll provide it through you." Volume 9 of the Testimonies, page 107. God will do the work if we provide the instrument. That's all He's interested in, is an instrument through which He can work. And through His grace, I can become bold and I can tell you things that I couldn't tell you otherwise. Now, let's look at another interesting aspect of this special group. We're not going to dwell too much on this. I'm just going to give you enough to whet your appetite and let you study on your own. The Scripture says there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. Galatians 3:29. "And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise of God." Heirs according to the promise. What promise? Jesus says, "To him that overcometh, I will cause to sit down with me on my throne." The 144,000 are going to have the privilege of sitting on the throne of David and taking part in the rulership of the universe. And not only that, sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. And it goes on 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000. Now, did you know, all Bible students should know, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel are written on the gates of the New Jerusalem, the 12 gates. And did you know this? The Servant of the Lord indicates that those who live in the New Jerusalem will be members of one or the other of those 12 tribes of Israel. You're all a member of one of the 12 tribes. The 12 gates of that city are fashioned from 12 precious stones. The 12 stones that was in the breastplate of the high priest in the sanctuary in the Old Testament. And each one of those stones bore the name of one of the 12 tribes. And you're part of those 12 tribes. Judah, 12,000. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Nephilim, Manasseh, Simon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Now, well, I don't know what one of those I'm a member of. Start studying the Scripture and the spirit of prophecy. Find out the characteristics of these 12 men and you'll find out what tribe you belong to. That's something for you to think about. And I'm not going to tell you anymore. Just go home and dig it out for yourself and find out which tribe you belong to and what part of the city you're going to live in up there, because the city is going to be divided up into 12 sections and each tribe is going to live in one of these sections. I tell you, there's some wonderful things in there. But did you know what's funny about this thing? In the gate, the 12 gates, and also on the breastplate of the high priest, the 12 foundation stones, two of the names of the children of Abraham, children of Israel, is left out. Did you know that? The name of Ephraim and the name of Dan is left out. And the name of Levi, the tribe of Levi, and Joseph is placed in their place. Have you ever wondered why they were left out? Now, they were part, you see, of the family. They were part of the children of God. But they were excluded. And there's a reason why they've been excluded. What was it about them that excluded them from being included in the type of the 144,000? Hosea. Hosea chapter 4, 17. Hosea 4, 17. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Can you think of any more terrible statement from God? Let him alone. He's joined to idols. It's a terrible statement. And it's one that we don't like to face, but it's true. He's joined to idols. We don't worship an idol. Don't fool yourself. Anything or anybody that comes between you and God is an idol to you. I've heard Seventh-day Adventists say, well, you know, they're having meetings tonight at our church, Saturday night at our church, but such and such a program comes on television. And, you know, I've been watching it every week and I don't want to miss it. Mm-hmm. There's an Ephraimite. There's an Ephraimite. He's got an idol. And I say to you that any one of us that's joined to idols, whether it be gold or silver, that lets me out because I don't have any of them. Liquor, tobacco, fashion, tea, coffee, jewelry, anything else that we rather hold on to than give up to the Lord, we're going to hear the same statement one day. They're joined to idols. Let them alone. Strike their name off of the book. Oh my, that's a terrible thing. Holy Spirit, don't mess with them anymore. They are joined themselves to an idol. They love other things more than me. Now I've got to take their name off and leave their sins standing against them. What about Dan? His name was taken off as well. Genesis 49:17 says, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse's heel, so that his rider shall falleth backwards. What was Dan? A backbiter, a gossiper, a carrier of tales. Is any of them in the church? They may not be in yours. If they're not, I'm surprised. Volume 5 of the Testimonies, 94 and 95. It pains me to say that there are unruly tongues among church members. They gather up unguarded expressions from one another, not considering that words may be uttered hastily and may not reflect the real sentiment of the speaker. But those remarks are repeated until molehills become mountains. That describe anybody you know? They're a Danite. And their names will be stricken from the book one day. I tell you, saints, that should be a warning to those among our number who are given to backbiting or criticism without a cause. Did you know there's been multitudes upon multitudes driven from our church because of unkind words that has been spoken to them? Unkind words have driven multitudes out the door, never to return again. Somebody's going to have to answer. I must also remind you, Satan, friends, that Satan is the accuser of the brother. Satan is a backbiter. Satan is a gossiper. And if you do his work, you're counted as on his side. And you'll be lost and not be a part of the 144,000. I hope every one of us here this afternoon will determine in our minds not to belong to the tribe of Ephraim or the tribe of Dan. Strike them two off of your list right now and look for something else. It's evident that the 144,000 will be a special company out of the last generation of the remnant people. They're chosen and sealed for a special work. They are those who have received the victory over their Laodicean condition. No Laodiceans in heaven. They're given a new name, and I'm going to tell you what that new name is. They're the ones who have loved the truth more than anything else. They're the priests of the Melchizedek priesthood, a special order of the firstborn sons of God, of whom Jesus is the head. We're not going to have time to go into this. We're just going to skip right on over this concerning Melchizedek. Our time is running away. But we can be sure that the 144,000, even though they come from a sinful generation, even though they're born with a sinful nature, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of Christ given by the Holy Spirit, they arise above all that and become like Christ. They will never die. They will be translated from among the living. They will be the firstborn sons, firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. I appreciated so much what one of our sisters said at dinner when we were talking. She said she carried her students to the graveyard. They were having a death education class. And different one of them was talking about the way they were wanted to, you know, they wanted to be cremated and some this or that or the other. And they asked her, said, "What's going to happen to you?" She said, "I'm getting out alive." And you know, that's what the 144,000 are going to do. They're going to get out of this thing alive. You know, that's going to be a wonderful privilege. We don't know who they are, but I tell you, it will be those who follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. They walk like Jesus, they talk like Jesus, they love like Jesus, and they live like Jesus. They've got victory over everything. They reflect the image of Jesus fully. They're just like a mirror. They have no character of their own. They have no worthiness of their own. They're just a mirror reflecting the loveliness of Christ. It will be made up of those who come up to every point and stand every test and overcome, be the price what it may be. They will be the ones fitted for translation. Volume 1, Testimonies 187, 188. We don't know who they will be, but we do know that men, women, boys, and girls are going to be among them. So sisters, take note of that. I've heard some teaching going around that the 144,000 are going to be all men. But it's not. It's going to be made up of men, women, boys, and girls. Review and Herald, March 22, 1898. The Lord will have a well-trained army ready to be called into action at a word. These will be well-disciplined men, women, and youth who have placed themselves under educating influences that have made them vessels unto honor. I can give you a lot more statements from the Spirit of Prophecy, and here's two for you to look up at home. Volume 5 of the Testimonies, 216, and Volume 6 of the Testimonies, 203. But I tell you, the 144,000 are going to be composed of people who have come to the altar and left it every bit there. Left it every bit there. Sold out to the Lord. They belong wholly to Him, reserving nothing for themselves. They've given it all over to the Lord. Their life is an open book. They're going to be sealed before the close of probation. That sealing work is presently going on. Every day you are either being sealed or you're being ripened for slaughter. God's going to have a perfect people. One whose lives will be in perfect harmony through the imparted righteousness of Christ with the standard of judgment. It's God's purpose in the work of redemption to bring mankind back to the character that Adam and Eve had before sin came into the world. The object of the 144,000 is to show to the watching universe that our Father can so completely change the lives and the characters of those who have totally yielded themselves to Him that they will reflect the loveliness of Christ. That's what the 144,000 are going to do. They're going to take the blot off of the character of God. You see, way back there in the very beginning, the devil said it's impossible to keep the law. Nobody can do it. And he spread that light throughout the universe, far and wide. And the universe, they really wonder. You see, they look at me and they wonder a lot. Is it really possible that folk like him can reflect the image of Christ? We don't see how. And that's what God's going to do with the 144,000. They're going to be so sold out to Christ that their lives will just be a sort of an extension of His. They're going to be so much like Him. Well, I can never reach that standard. That's a lie told to you by the father of the lie. You can, through the imputed righteousness and the imparted righteousness of Christ, this thing the Lord holds out is within reach of everybody. He doesn't offer it to a select few. He says, listen, if you want to be part of the 144,000, just come on. You know, come on. You can be one of them if you want to. He doesn't have a sign over the door that just says members only. It's whosoever will. Let him come and taste of the water of life. It's open to everybody. And all you got to do is just sell out. I talked one time with a dear saint, a man who was, oh, his life was so beautiful. And I looked at that man and I looked at myself and I say, oh my, there's as much difference in me and him as there is in day and night. And I got him aside one time. I wanted to find out what it was that made him like it was. Everybody called him Uncle. His name was Bud. I said, Uncle Bud, I've been looking at your life. And I said, it's beautiful. I said, I would give the world if I had the life like you had. You know what he said? That's just what it cost me. That's just what it cost me. Saints, if we're willing to surrender, the Lord will make us part of this special group. They're going to gain the victory over death. Death will not touch the 144,000. They're the first fruits of the final harvest. They're the firstborn sons of God. They are sons of God in the truest sense of the word. Even though they may be scattered all over the earth, they uphold the law and the Sabbath, placing themselves on the side of the Father in the great conflict of the ages. They're going to live to see events on this earth so terrible that they cannot be put into words. They'll witness fear, suffering. They're going to meet demons in the form of love, in the form of humans. They will be betrayed by friends, by loved ones. They will have to stand alone in the midst of a world who hates God. They're going to be victorious, but yet they're going to be saints of God in the truest sense of the word. And they're going to be given the highest privilege, the highest honor, the highest rank that heaven can afford will be given to this group of people. And you know, I'm the type of person, I'm not satisfied with second best. And if God's got something greater, I want it. And He's got it for the 144,000. And I want it. And He offers it to us. Volume 5 of the Testimonies, 2:12. The seal of our Father will be placed upon the foreheads of those who sigh and cry for the abominations done in the church. The dead cannot sigh and cry, saints. Only the living can do this. So the opportunity is held out for us to be part of the 144,000. Probation is almost closed for the church. But the Lord's promise in Romans 9:27 is, a remnant shall be saved, for He shall finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Justification is our ticket, and sanctification is our fitness. And both of them are found in Christ. Of the 144,000, Sister White writes in Great Controversy 6:36, they come, holy, harmless, and undefiled. And she says the angels will shout that out as the 144,000 approach heaven. They come, gather and look at them. The special group. Will we be one of them? There'll be men or women greatly wondered at. They will be sealed with the seal of the living God. They'll be fit subjects to sit on the thrones. Fit subjects to travel throughout the universe in the entourage of our Savior. They will be the ones who have conquered Laodiceism. What will they be? Well, I told you that they were going to have a new name. Let's look at what the Laodicean church is, just briefly. Verse 15, every Seventh-day Adventist Bible automatically falls open to chapter 3 of Revelation. You know, we've heard Laodicea so much, so our Bibles are trained. Mine is, at least. Because there we are, you see, there's our picture. I know thy works, he says, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that thou were hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased of goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sit down with my Father in his throne. You know what's interesting about this statement that Jesus makes to the Laodicean church? It's open-ended, you see. Jesus really doesn't tell us what happens to the Laodiceans. He tells them what they need to do and what will happen if they don't overcome, but he doesn't tell us what will happen to the Laodiceans. And why is that? Because we're still writing the story. It's being written in your life every day. Sealed or slaughtered? All right? Who will those that gain the victory over the Laodicean condition be? Let's look right back up the same chapter, verses 7 through 12. Revelation 3. And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. What does that have to do? I hope you Bible students know that we know, of course, that these seven churches represent seven church ages. But when one church age begins, it continues all the way down. There's people that has the, what's the first church? Ephesus. There's people that are in the condition of the church at Ephesus. The seven churches, there's people that are in this condition. Early writings 42 gives us the key to interpret this passage, Revelation 3, 7 through 12. What did we read in verse 8? I have set before thee an open door. Early writings 42 tells us what this door was. This door was not opened until the mediation of Jesus was finished in 1844. Then in 1844, Jesus rose up and shut the door of the holy place and opened the door into the most holy place and passed within the second veil where he now stands by the ark. All right, he says there, I have set before thee an open door. What door is that? The door that opened into the most holy place. I think that we can compare these two texts and we find that there will be Philadelphians on the earth at the return of Christ, and I'm going to give you even more proof as we go along. But what about those that are shaken out? Are they brought into view in this connection? Revelation 3:9 says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and lie not. In other words, those which claim to be Seventh-day Adventists, but they're really not. They're lying. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thee at thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. All right, a word to the little flock. This is from that pamphlet, a word to the little flock. I'm sorry, I don't have the page number. You think that those who worship at the saints' feet in Revelation 3:9 will at last be saved. Here I must differ with you, for God has shown me that this class is professed Adventists who have fallen away, shaken out. And in the hour of temptation, which is yet to come, to show out of every man's true character, they will know that they are forever lost and will be overwhelmed with anguish of spirit. They will bow at the saints' feet. Did you get that? The hour of temptation, she said, which is yet to come. She likens in another place the hour of temptation to the time of Jacob's trouble. You understand what she's saying here? Can anything really be any plainer? Early Writings 37 also mentions this class. Then I was shown a company who were howling in anger, howling in agony. I asked who they were. The angel said, "These are they who once kept the Sabbath and given it up. These apostates will worship at the saints' feet at their deliverance. These are the tares, the ones that have fallen out. Those that are of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, professed Seventh-day Adventists." She says, "These are the tares, the unfaithful that have grown together with the Philadelphians." Then she really tells you who they are. The Laodiceans, the foolish virgins. Can you get any plainer, saints? That's Early Writings 37 if you want to check up on the thing. The Philadelphians and the Laodiceans. The wheat and the tares. The wise virgins and the foolish virgins. All members of the same church. But somehow, the Philadelphians have risen above the Laodicean condition. Review and Herald, August 19, 1890, she again tells us that the Laodiceans are foolish virgins. And saints, may I ask you, what happened to the foolish virgins at the coming of the Lord? They were shut out. And that's why I entitled this sermon and I say to you, no Laodiceans in heaven. And if you boast that you're a Laodicean, you're boasting that you're going to be lost. That's nothing to boast about. And if we are a Laodicean, and that is our true condition, we better be doing something about it. We better be searching the Scripture, trying to arise above that. Revelation 3:10 speaks about the hour of temptation there. Early Writings 2:5-4 said that indicates, this is early writings, 254, indicates that the hour of temptation is the time of the mark of the beast. Early writings 15, the 144,000 were all sealed and perfectly united. On their foreheads were written, God, New Jerusalem, and the glorious star containing Jesus' new name. Did you understand that? I'll read it one more time. The 144,000 were all sealed and perfectly united. On their foreheads was written God, New Jerusalem, and a glorious star containing Jesus' new name. What did Jesus hold out to those in verse 12 who overcame? He says, I will write upon him, what? The name of my God? The name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem? And I will write upon him my new name. Who is he talking to here? The Philadelphian church. She says in early writings 15 that that's the 144,000. They are the ones that have that written on their foreheads. The church of the open door. They are the wheat. Those in the Laodicean condition are the tares. They are the five wise virgins. Those who remain in the Laodicean condition are the foolish virgins. Both members of the remnant people, but they're going to be separated in the work that is presently going on. But you know what is the beautiful thing about this, saints? We still have opportunity to arise out of our Laodicean condition and do something about it. What happens to those who will not arouse from sleep, who will not be woke up? Ezekiel 9:6 tells us they will be slaughtered by the men with the slaughtering weapons, shaken out from the Lamb's Book of Life, because they have not heeded the voice of the faithful and the true witness who knows every man's condition. Volume 3 of the Testimonies 3:6-3. Dear friends, that which you sow you will also reap. Now is the sowing time. What will the harvest be? What are you sowing? Every word you utter, every act you perform is a seed which will bear good or evil fruit. and will result in joy or sorrow to the sower. God has given you great light and many privileges. After this light has been given, after your dangers have been plainly presented before you, the responsibility becomes yours. The manner in which you treat the light which God gives you will turn the scale for happiness or woe. You shape your own destinies. She says also, I don't have this reference, many will come from the greatest era and sin and take the place of some of those us who have been in the church. Saints, I tell you this afternoon that if we don't prize the opportunities and privileges that God has given us today, somebody is going to take our place. Somebody is going to take the crown that would have been ours because they're willing to go all the way where we're not. We're in the closing work for the church, the time of the sealing of the 144,000. Somebody will be sealed. Somebody will be slaughtered. Which one will you be? Shall we pray? Father dear, we thank Thee for the opportunity that we've had to share with these people. And we pray, Father, that we have said something that would cause them to think, to search, to study for themselves. And Father, we pray that eyes have been opened to true conditions and that each one of us here will strive with all of our might to be among the 144,000, those who go all the way with You. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.